Welcome to World Communion Sunday. Cindy mentioned churches around the world are celebrating communion this morning during their services. Some probably haven't even started yet, but others have probably finished hours ago. But today we're going to celebrate, along with millions of other believers, what Christ did for us and the sacrifice that happened almost 2,000 years ago. This morning we're going to take a look at verses and thoughts that will lead us towards what Christ did for us and our response. What Christ has done and who God is calling us to be. And it comes at a timely point. We've been studying through the book of Ephesians, and Paul has reminded the Ephesians about what Christ has done for them as well. In Ephesians chapter 2, that we've already studied, verses 1 through 3 says this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Paul is saying that we were all pretty bad. We all were not living like we were supposed to be living, the way we were designed to live, but that isn't the end. Paul continues with, "But God." For Christians, the way we were is not the end, but only the beginning. Paul continues to remind them what Christ had done for them to bring unity to the body. And he said this in verses 4 through 9 of the same chapter. "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." We've been studying through the book of Ephesians, and we come to the end of chapter 3, and Paul has kind of divided the book of Ephesians for us. And at the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4, Paul switches from talking about doctrine to talking about actions of the church, to talking about how the church is supposed to respond to what Christ has done for us. He goes from talking about policy to talking about practice. He goes in chapters 4 through 6 to talking about how we are to live out everything he's told us in chapters 1 through 3. It is significant that we celebrate communion this morning because it is the physical reminder of Christ's actions for us on the cross. Because over the next weeks, we're going to hear Paul's instructions for our actions and how we're to be behaving. The communion service offers four reminders. The first one is inward. Paul gives the Corinthian church a warning. He tells them in our main passage this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It'll be up on the screen, but you can also open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 39. At the end of his instructions, he says this, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Paul gives them a warning in how they are to proceed. The book of Corinthians is a lot about Paul's response to things he was hearing of in their church, there were a lot of things that were happening that Paul said, that's not supposed to be that way. And communion was one of those things where people were coming in and they were just devouring the meal and not waiting for others to arrive. And they were drinking of the communion and making themselves drunk off of it. And Paul says, that's not to be what you're supposed to be doing as a church. And so he gave them specific directions, and I'm thankful for that, because it gives us directions as well as a church and how we're supposed to receive the communion. The psalmist in Psalm 139 says this, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I told you that we were going to look at some scriptures this morning and respond. I'd like to spend a moment in just personal reflection for each of you to think about if there's anything in your life. Maybe it's just repeating this prayer, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I'll begin in prayer, and then I'll give you a moment just to kind of reflect on that verse and to ask God if there's anything in you that maybe you need to change. Father, we ask that you make yourself evident to us here today. God, each of us has things that happen in our lives. God, help us to focus on you this morning. Help us to remember what you have done. God, we pray that you would look into our hearts, look into our minds, and God, if there's anything there that goes against what you tell us, the things that you command us, God, help us to repent of those things and not to do them anymore. Amen. Said Paul gave the Corinthians reminders, or reminders for us as we come to the Lord's table. The second one, we have the inward reminder. The second one is the backward reminder. The focus of communion is to remind us of what Christ did for us, the sacrifice that he made to pay the penalty for our sins. Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 50 says this, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'This man is calling Elijah.' And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, 'Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." The reminder of what Jesus has done for us. The reminder of what he did. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 5, "For while we were still weak, while we were still sinners, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Earlier in the chapter, he said this in verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." what Christ has done for us, the penalty that he paid so that my sins could be forgiven, so that your sins could be forgiven, so that we could have peace with God, so that we could be back into a relationship with him that was broken because of the fall. Would you take a minute right now? Just pray and thank God for what he did. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your son. The Bible tells us it was your only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting eternal life. And God, all we can do is say thank you. All we can do is praise you for the mighty things that you've done. God, thank you for your love that was poured out on our behalf. Jesus' name. Amen. The first reminder was inward. The second reminder was backward. The third reminder is outward. Jesus' death brought peace with God and peace with each other. We've been talking about that in the book of Ephesians as well, that because Jesus came, all races, all people groups now had one thing in common. They could have faith in Jesus Christ, faith in what God sent him to do. And in that, God built up a new race, Christians, those who believe in Jesus Christ and confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. Those are the ones who are saved and believers. But while our peace with God is eternal, our peace with each other isn't always eternal. Sometimes we struggle in relationships with others. Romans chapter 12 says, "For as in one body we have many members, do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." We're all in this together, is what Paul's saying. Maybe we all look differently. My wife said when she walked in, she said, "We're all wearing purple today." She said she walked in and goes, "Oh, you're wearing purple too, huh?" But we all still look differently. We're all different. And Paul in this chapter in Romans is talking about how even in the church we're all going to function differently. But that's okay, because as members of the body, you need all the parts of the body. Without a finger, you couldn't do much. Without a leg, you'd be limping around. And Paul's saying we need all the members of the body to play their role, to do their part. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus said this, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." And then in Colossians chapter 3, Paul says this, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." How are you doing at bearing with others? How you doing at forgiving each other? I know in my heart, I struggle sometimes. I hold on to things. I hold on to things that I should let go. God forgave me so much, and he has to keep doing it over and over and over and over again. How much should I also forgive others? The outward look is to search your relationships and see if there's anything maybe that you're place that you're holding back forgiveness. While it's an outward look, it's mainly in your heart where you're holding on to things like anger or bitterness or rage or maybe a grudge against someone. Take a moment to search your heart and see if there's something you're holding on to in your life. Ask God to reveal that to you. God, I pray that you would help us as we're preparing ourselves for communion. God, if there are relationships in our lives that we need to think through, God, things that maybe we're holding on to, God, help us to let those go. God, if there's anger or rage or bitterness that we're keeping inside, I pray that you would help us to forgive those people. Father, you've said that you've wiped away our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. God, help us to do that with others as well. God, maybe it means we need to have a conversation this week that's hard, but God, help us to do that. Help us to make those decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been reminded of the inward look, the backward look, the outward look, and now the forward look. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, in this passage that we're talking about this morning in 1 Corinthians. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's looking forward. It's looking forward for when Christ will return. We're proclaiming his death because of what we're going to do here in a few minutes. Because we're remembering it. We're also proclaiming it to others. Paul, in the chapter we looked at in Ephesians, says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Looking forward, God calls us to be thinking about our actions, to be thinking about the works that he has had prepared for us to do. We've been reminded of the inward, the backward, the outward, and the forward results of what Jesus has done on the cross. I would ask at this time for the men that I've asked to come up and help lead communion to come up and have a seat right in the front row here.